and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and Wolves finally getting 3 points on the board after the game against Watford last Saturday. I'm joined this week by Gary Cotter, Mick McQuillan, Paul Lindsay and Tony Cullen to discuss all that went on last Saturday and how the lads got on over at Watford. Hope you enjoy it. Paul, how are you?
Not too bad. I realised I had no laptop with me. And I'm doing it on my phone, so I've just set my phone up.
Ah, right. I was wondering how right.
I left my laptop in the office. I went to the car and realised still in the office, but we're good to go.
Yeah. They just waking me. We had Mick and Tony join us. Tony be a bit late. He just said to me he's stuck on the phone. So yeah, and then Gary said he'll have a listen in just to join in the chat, you know. So how are you keeping? Working away, yeah?
Yeah, busy. I've been sort of fairly busy because they've compressed all our races in the back-to-back weekends. So we're doing 2 weekends back-to-back.
Yeah.
And then a weekend at home and then 2 weekends back-to-back. So it's been fairly intense for the last 2 months.
Ah, right, yeah.
But our season finishes now towards the middle, the week before the Leeds game, the middle of October. So, and then it's back under pressure again, getting all the sponsors on board.
Yeah.
For next year. So, and then we go again. So.
Yeah. When does the season normally run?
Our season normally starts, we normally go testing in March, and then the season normally starts Easter weekend, and then we have 12 rounds between start of April right through to October.
Yeah.
But because we lost the start of the season with COVID, we ended up doing 11 rounds from the middle of June to October, so it's just been manic.
Yeah. There's Michael there now.
Tony, how are things?
Grand, not a butter. We have
when are you getting back? When are you back from Sofia?
On Wednesday night.
It's tough old life, isn't it?
I tell you.
Tough fucking life.
The sun has to be soaked up. You know, it's not easy.
Oh, stop!
You'll see me at Brentford on Saturday, anyway.
Oh, good. Funny, yeah. I was dining after the game on Saturday. I was dining at a friend's house. I was telling Mick and his wife, his Bulgarian, all her family were there. So
yeah.
I was treated to a host of Bulgarian language on Saturday night over a few beers.
Good stuff. I could do what you over here, so.
Definitely not fluent.
No, very, very limited now, I have to say. What's that?
Yeah.
Anyway, come here. Young Mr. Cullen is on the phone, not having his tea. He's stuck on the phone, so he's going to be a bit late. So,
yeah.
Do you want to, will we kick off? I know you were.
Yeah, no mind.
I know you were all.
No mind.
You travelled. Where did you travel, Michael? Was it from Birmingham or over to Birmingham on Saturday?
I travelled to Birmingham up to Watford Junction. Actually, it's a great route. There was no problem. Thank God, the airport. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
We arrived a bit early and there was no problem there, and we were through and on in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Accident. And then we had a cup of coffee, but there was. Huh? We're on it was the 20 to 28 flight.
All right.
To, you know.
A bit later. So, what about you, Paul? So, how did you travel? Did you on the same flight?
No, I was obviously over. I was over with work. Superbikes at Silverstone.
Yeah.
And I was staying in a little village called Bugbrook, just outside Northampton, with a friend of mine, originally from Lisburn. And he very kindly drove me down to Watford High Street to meet the boys on Saturday. So I was spoiled to be honest with you.
Yeah. So from purely looking at WhatsApp and our little group, the lads were making their way down step by step down to Watford. And what you were saying, Mick, you met up then in a pub in Watford, yeah?
Yeah, the Moon of the Water. It's a pub I was in a few times before. It's good for away fans and for home fans, and it's about 10 minute walk from the High Street station. So we went in there and of course, the usual, you travel away, you meet lads that you've met, a couple of lads that was over in Europe with us and a few fellas that we met down. I met them a few times, nice lads from Hereford. So I set up base there and then had to meet the rest of the lads at different stages with the old tickets. But it was a good old spot. We were there to be left for the match anyway.
Yeah, was it busy?
Fairly busy, yeah, it was. But it was fairly easy to get to the bar. I found that. I there was not much hanging around, you know. There were a good set of bar people there. But that's another good thing about them, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
A nice place to drop off, you know.
So, and you met the Mafia, I assume, as usual, yeah?
They came in just about the 2 o'clock, Paul. Was it around 2 o'clock, Mark, they came in?
Yeah, the day it was good. It was livened the place up a bit.
There's some crowd, wasn't there?
No food involved.
It was brilliant. It was very enjoyable, actually. It was good. I've only been to a few away games. It's a different, as you guys know better than me, it's even a different atmosphere than going to Molineux. It's tight and intense, and you're in amongst the hardcore. It's good fun, really good fun.
Yeah. And what was the feeling before the game amongst the lads, any lads you met?
Well, from my point of view, I thought that no one was interested in the performance. They just said, we have to start picking up points, you know?
Yeah.
And that was it, because you couldn't ask for much more than you'd done in the previous three games, only put the ball in the back of the net, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how well we were going to play, you know, if we didn't get the ball in the net, we weren't going to win it, but thank God it went for us then, and we did get the goal. So
yeah,
but that was it, you know.
Yeah, but and yourself, Paul, how were you feeling beforehand? What do you think we were going to do?
Oh, you know yourself. I mean, we've looked the first three games of the season. They deserved something, if not a lot from. And I think the likes of Watford, there was a certain amount of trepidation because of who it was, and. You know, dare I say it, they're not the same. They're not the same team with the torch of Troy Deeney in the lineup. There weren't too many standout players in their team. And, but we just needed the points, didn't we? It didn't matter how ugly it was, and the goals were fairly ugly. But as I saw somebody mention on social media, you know, we've been needing somebody to be in the right place at the right time, and Hee-chan was. And you know, it was some celebration. We actually, I think Mick and I thought the stand was going to collapse.
I tell you what, Tony, I said it's a ball. It was the first time I was in a concrete stand where the beams were going up and down. You know, it brought me back to the old North Bank when you had the timber beams and you used to spring up and down. And I was like, holy jeez, I hope this is not going to give, you know. Oh, yeah.
It was funny, Paul, you mentioned Troy Deeney. I was actually watching Birmingham. We're playing the other night, and he's back with them now, I think. So
He was very good interview actually with him on the programme. Their programme was impressive. Right up the train the way back up. Like, the programme was actually better than Wolves' programme.
But the Wolves' programme is cheaper now. It's gone back to $3.50.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah. Oh well.
Just on the, but on, as you say, on the game, how do you think it went overall? You know, was it a happy performance from start to finish?
I think it was. I mean, I was thinking this when you were dialing in this evening. You couldn't really fault any of the team. You know, Neves was absolutely outstanding in that slightly more advanced role.
Yeah.
Kilman, England material. That kid's definitely England material in the future. Marcel, he's a better defender than he is attacker, but 100% commitment. You know, Semedo missed a couple of chances, but can't be faulted. Like, you know, there's nobody on the pitch can really be faulted. We just need to start scoring goals. And hopefully maybe a couple of ugly ones at the weekend will kickstart us into the team that we actually look like we're going to become this season.
But Mick, what was your overall opinion of the game and view?
Well, for the fourth game of the trot, I thought we controlled the game. All games we've played, to me, we've controlled it. I didn't think they had one or two chances, but we were stroking the ball around, and we've done it in the four games so far. I know some people say, well, Watford didn't look much, but that's taken away from how our lads are playing. You know, Paul hit there, Neves is actually playing out with skin. He's everywhere looking for this and looking for that, in with the tackles, doing all the donkey work. But after saying that, it's easier for him because you look around, as you mentioned, the three lads at the back, you know, they basically haven't put a foot really wrong. And then you look at Mochinho, it's like another fella reborn. He's flying around there. Yeah. He's getting in. And then you look at the lads up front. And as I said, Traore is a better all-round player. But he did make a switch. I thought was significant at half-time. He moved them over to play in front of them. He moved them across. And it looked, you know, a bit different. But my biggest thing about them, as I've said it now the last couple of weeks, they want to start dinking balls over the keepers. If you look, when Podence came on, he threw the dink, he threw the little shape, and then he chipped the ball. And I think Traore did it earlier. He chipped to the back post, and it caused all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
And we're inclined to go for power, power, power. And it was, look, I don't care how dirty the goal was, they said, people say it was. It was a lovely build-up. It was a beautiful build-up for that cross from Badanzi. If you look back three or four passes before that, yeah. And it ended up in the back of the net, and that's what it's all about. But once that went in, you're almost sure there was a second one coming. So that's my thinking of it. Tony. Yeah.
What was your view on the whole game, Top?
Yeah, I'd agree with the two lads. I think Matinho played well. I thought Neves was head and shoulders man of the match. He was everywhere. I thought we played well and we controlled the game. I don't think we created as many chances as we did against United or Spurs, for that matter.
Yeah,
we never really looked in trouble. Watford were poor. I know they had one or two kind of half chances, but I think overall I was very pleased with the way things went. As I said, I don't think we created quite as many chances as we did previously. I think Podence made a difference when he came on, and he just made that like kind of half a dummy, committed the defender who actually scored the own goal, I think, and yeah. He kind of turned his back and twisted his body, gave Podence enough room and space to dink it in. Mm. I can't think who was at the back post. Was it the Korean guy? Was it Neves or no?
It was Marcelo.
Marcelo was.
Yeah.
And then you got in each other's way. But anyway, look, yeah, enjoyed Watford. Nice little ground. They were very quiet, thought.
Yeah, because I think really, suppose with Podence, you know, it's great to have at last players on the bench that can actually make a difference when they come on, you know, which, like, I didn't see a lot of the match, yeah. But I only saw bits of it now, but couldn't watch the whole lot. But, with Podence come on, and, we mentioned him in the Leicester game that he was a bit quiet, Trinkow. But like, if he keeps improving the way he is, he'd be messy but halfway through the season.
Yeah. If you look back, a couple of weeks ago, we had a load of fellas on social media moaning about it, that we hadn't got this, we hadn't got that. You look at that game on Saturday and you look at the bench we had, that's the strongest bench we've ever had.
Yeah.
In my opinion, over the last couple of years. Like, Ollie can't get in. You say Podence is only getting into the second half of games. You know, we still haven't got Neto there. There's a lot of good players there not able to get them down. Our mate didn't get in. But it shows you that there is a fair bit of talent on that. Because all the lads next to me and from Hereford, the lad was saying about them letting Gibbs White go off. You know, he was surprised at that. But I said, the young fella's not improving if he's not going to be getting games regularly, you know. So that was that. But I think we're very, very strong in what we're about. And, yeah. Let's hope it keeps going for us, you know.
I mean, sure, I suppose, like, Watford, if you remember, their first game of the season, they beat Villa. And he was 3-2 in the end. But I think Villa got two late goals. But they were 3-0 up. So, I mean, you know, sometimes we don't give our own lads enough credit. Yeah. By saying the way we play, because every away game is a difficult game, you know. But like, from hearing bits coming through and what I saw, I think Watford probably had two kind of half decent chances to score, and that was it.
Sissoko and Saar, is it?
Yeah.
Well, they're two best players, two very strong physical players. And in the second half, I think Antonio said to me on the day, you know, when Traore stopped tracking back, then they started giving us trouble. In the game, and you know, they're a fair enough side. If you know, you don't come out of the championship if you're not. You know, as Mick said, we did control the game. We just need to take our chances, and at least we now know if any of us need a mortgage, we can ring Danny Rose, because the boys were shouting banker at him the whole match. You know? Yeah. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, well, when he gave the fans the finger, he was asking what he got. You know what I mean? they gave him some stick, all right.
Yeah,
but I must say that's the fourth game I've been at. But we think it's 2-0. I've never heard the crowd so loud.
Our
you
know gang, I mean?
they are very our gang. Jesus, yeah. They are.
Yeah,
and I think Neves in his statement after the match, his comments after the match, he made that quite clear. Your mum was asking the question about getting back next week to home, and he says, you know, we're miles away from home here today, and yet the only fans you could hear in the ground was our own fans. You know.
Yeah. That's probably a combination of the fact that haven't been at fans, no, fans haven't been away at games in the last year and a half, and probably, you know, they're so not in every they didn't have a chance in every game to get going, you know. But I mean, it's certainly You know, I think, but with the game on Saturday, after we knew we had three tough games starting off, everyone knew that, but still expected a point or two here beforehand. But like, do you think Saturday's game was a huge important game for us that everyone was assuming after three tough games we'd start winning? But like, it's never that easy, you know.
I said before the game, I look at every game. They're all difficult to win. As how you go out and play them, you know, that's why we were bottom of the table on many occasions and beat the top teams. Yeah. The right attitude, but there was nothing guaranteed that we were going to get the 3 points. We had to go out and do it. And the great thing in the four games, we've gone out and we've absolutely outplayed the four teams we met. We didn't beat them because we didn't put away our chances. But we have been. I looked at that game again. I saw, got it in Fallon Sky last night. And I tell you, I looked at it again. And the way the lads were knocking that ball about, they couldn't get at us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the quality of some of the passing, it might be short stuff, but it's fantastic watching how comfortable they are in that ball. And I actually think this, we get a knock in a few extra goals there, we'll be flying up the table. And we'll be fairly well up near the top of the finish. We won't be far outside the European spots, if we will be outside them, you know?
Well, you know what, Mick, I'm glad I'm recording that, because 3 weeks ago, you were all doom and gloom. You were telling us there's no tomorrow. So that's great to hear that, Mick.
What I said before the season, you know what I mean? I was worried about what the setup was with Fosse and what way they were approaching. It seemed to be all money, in my opinion. But I said, I was back to manager, and you'd hope they could be proved wrong. But I seen after the first game, and particularly the second game, again, how we handle Spurs, that to me told a big, big tale. Because I watched how Spurs caused City lots of problems the previous week and on the break. And we gave them a goal early. And we still, you know, I know we got beat the 1-0, but our performance for the rest of the game, we controlled against Spurs. We stopped them nearly trying to score against us. But anyway, that's my take on it.
Tony, can I put in there?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Gary, did you get to see the game, and what was your views on it?
I didn't. It's the first one I haven't seen yet, but like also previous seasons, and it probably would have been to the four games by now, but I haven't been yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm putting that right on Saturday. I'll be going there Saturday, and we can tear into it again then for the rest of the season. But I wanted to, one thing that I admired, Mick, after the United game, your commentary was, and your feelings were extremely positive, you know what I mean? And you've often said in the past that the people who are negative about Wolves are usually the people that haven't actually been to the live games.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, at the end of the United game, I was like, I wasn't quite suicidal, but I was fucking distraught type of thing. Do you know what I mean? But only because, mainly because, one, I hadn't been to any of the games. And even though you could tell we'd played well and really done, you know, we deserved more. And that's why I think that was the disappointment, was even though when we saw the fixtures and in the context of the new manager and a poor enough pre-season and all that, you know, you didn't expect a whole lot. But the reality was we deserved, you know, five or six points out of that, you know, out the first three games, and we never got them. And that was kind of the sickener. And I said, right, that's those three games gone. Let's get on with the rest of the season now. Yeah. But like going to Watford is no gimme.
Yeah.
No.
Is it? You know what I mean?
No.
And Brentford are playing well. And then you rock up with Southampton and Newcastle after that. Like, yeah, we really should, after losing them three and looking at the way we can play, you would hope that we can get a good 9 points out of those four games.
Like, I think everyone was hoping like that, as we were saying there a few minutes ago, that after the three tough games, that the feeling I had from watching the three games was we created chances, more chances than we had in games in the last season or two. If we played a lesser team, if you want to call Watford that we would score. You know, that we were creating enough chances that we would eventually get a goal. Like, it's hard to believe after three games we didn't have a goal. But, you know, and that's why I think, as I said earlier, I thought that the match on Saturday was so important, that if we didn't win that or get something out of it, that the pressure was really on Bruno and everyone else to, you know, in the Brentford game. And then if we didn't get out, you know, the pressure was starting to build up. Even though people will accept the first three games, there was a good chance we weren't going to get anything out of them. people still in their minds are saying, well, we should have, and you know, so it was a great win.
Well, I think the important thing about the win on Saturday was it was very important for the team because they had put so much effort into the previous three games and come out without it, without nothing. Now, that's right. I felt, as Gary was saying there, after the United match, it was frustration. I was frustrated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bastards beat, excuse me, they'd beaten us and they didn't deserve to be. There's no way they deserve to beat us that day. Yeah. We were the better side on that day. And you'd have to look at the players that they're given everything. And after three games, there was nothing on the board. And it's easy enough to go and say, ah, we should have done this, we should have done that. So, but I did think that Saturday was a game that for the team, it was very, very important that we got a win there. And we did that. And I will move on to just say that the team at the moment that we have, it's not going to have the same problems that we've had in the past. I'm saying, again, the lesser teams, because we have so many different options of the way, you know, that we can attack or we can defend and then catch them on the break. And particularly, I go back to the Spurs game, because we were having those against these lesser teams, we call them, when we went forward to try and get goals, we left ourselves open. And I don't see that this year. We're not leaving ourselves open at the back. Yeah, they might get one or two chances. That'll happen in all games. But we're not leaving ourselves wide open at the back at the moment. And that's why I think we will get the results against the lesser teams that people call them.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion on it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jimenez, I think we need, you know, you look at all the top teams now, they're centre forward scoring goals. And if Jimenez can find his mojo in the next few games and start bagging goals like he did before he was injured, would be definitely a team to be reckoned with, because we've filled in all those weak areas, in my opinion. And everybody goes if we lose this player or that player, but every team's the same. But we do need our centre forward to start scoring goals We might see the Korean playing through the middle as a first choice very soon, I think.
But it was good to notice actually for the second goal on Saturday that it was actually Jimenez was out about 35 yards, played the ball out to the wing, and you know, if he hadn't been out that far, he probably would have been the one in the middle to put the ball in the net, you know. So but like I wonder is he kind of trying to stay away from the 6 yard box a little bit? Maybe as a side effect of the injury, or
we noticed at the weekend. I mean, his work ethic in the second half is phenomenal. I mean, he obviously did a little backflip with Semedo, and so he can't be faulted. But it's understandable when it's a 50-50 challenge with a big burly centre half, especially that big lad that scored, as a Sierra Nevada, I call him, that scored the own goal. You can see he's leading with the shoulder a bit, but that's understandable. That. I think, you know, he just needs to build his confidence.
But he was very unlucky with the header. It was a beautiful pick out from the car, and he got the header. It was just the one side, but it was a fabulous ball he played through to Semedo. They didn't flick. And I think although we got the goal, he got the Chang got the goal. But that goal will make a huge difference to the team itself. They know they can score.
Yeah.
So it might take the pressure off. Jimenez a little bit. But fucking Korean, he's built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah.
I say he must be on fucking super noodles. Because you see the size of him.
What flavour, mate? Curry flavour,
is it?
As long as we don't have to play Silva and then Donker, I hear they're going on loan to Lorne anyway, so.
I
knew we wouldn't get through a half an hour without Paul mentioning those two players. Huh? Jesus, even when they're not playing, they're getting criticised. That's the power of editing. Anyway, I can cut that out.
But he's some boy, and he's not afraid to dish out his bit of physical stuff. And I think the big plus for us is like he's fantastic over with Leipzig. The Austrian? What do you call that crowd? A couple of years ago,
Salzburg.
He didn't score in Germany. But it's a bit like people were already slagging him when he came. I know that he didn't score in Germany. You know what I mean? The same fellas who were slagging Jimenez as being the bench warmer for Benfica. You know? Yeah, but I think we get the trick out of that fella.
I suppose too, Mick, on the plus side, Super Noodles are very cheap, you know.
Yeah, it's a good
pretty cheap to buy.
Yeah. Korean 26, that's me next menu.
Come here, just to kind of move on a little bit, just to kind of get towards the end of our talk. As I say, it was a great, very important to get the win. And now that we have it, we can relax a bit and all that. But so what do you see? I know Brentford on Saturday and then Southampton, Newcastle. There's all of a sudden, there's a lot of positivity now and that, you know, we're going to go on a run maybe. So what do you think overall over the next couple of weeks? We'll start with Paul.
I think what we've shown and what we've discussed over the first four games, we shouldn't fear anybody. And if we start bagging those chances, we're going to start climbing the table. And that's as simple as that. We know all the other teams are dangerous. Doesn't matter whether it's Brentford or Man City. But you know, we're creating a lot of chances, and if we can start putting them away, you know, I think we'll be in a happy position. But at the time we play Liverpool at the start of December,
Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Brentford are a good footballing team, but I think we should be able to out-muscle them. I watched their game against Brighton, or the highlights, and they created quite a lot of chances. They just couldn't put them away. But as Paul said, I think if we are creating chances, if we can start converting them, Jimenez or the Korean chap, I think we're certainly capable of, if not winning all three, certainly getting 7 points out of the next three games.
Yeah.
Newcastle's always a dodgy one. We can't seem to beat Newcastle. That's the only thing. Like, I think the last four times we've played them have been 1-1 draws or something. So
that's where we get the 7 points, probably, you know.
That's the negativity is coming in.
We haven't talked to Gary yet.
Brentford to me will be it'll be tight. Like, no matter who we play, it's got to be tight. I expect a good game next week against Brent, good footballing game, but I just think we're more in the locker than what they have, and we should beat them, you know.
Yeah,
I think the point you made earlier, Mick, there, that we seem better equipped for the lesser teams. I know against you know, away to Leicester, home to Spurs and the Nuno thing and all, and then United, we were always going to work our ass off and try. And he was a bit like, you know, Goliath and the mountain man and all this. But against these next Saturday and the next four games, we really should be picking something up from each one. And we seem better equipped to be able to do that. If you remember the first season, remember it was first we couldn't hack the international break. We always lost after the break.
Yeah.
And then we went on. We could never beat the lower teams, and we could never beat the teams that packed to the defence.
Yeah.
But I think the signs from the first four games are that we should be able to break anyone down. And I think it was rustiness and a bit of bad luck and all of that that, you know, that we didn't get. We didn't get one against Leicester. We didn't get one against Spurs. And Christ, you know, how Saïss's one didn't go in against United. So, yeah, I'd be hopeful for the, you know, for the next four games. I thought Watford was always going to be tough. And it took a good while to break him down. But I think that's a good sign, you know. We kept plugging away and we'll get there in the end, I'd say.
So, anyway, to finish off, score on Saturday, Paul.
3-0.
Mick?
I just go for a win.
That's not a score.
I don't do the scores. I just a win.
Tony, what do you think?
I think 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0, 2-1.
Yeah. Gary?
The old 1-0, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on the basis that we're not scoring a lot at the minute, right?
Yeah.
But I think we'll, like Mick says, I think we'll win the game, but I can't see us banging in a hatful or anything.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have about somewhere between 12 and 15 over for the game on Saturday, so we should... It was a surprise, actually, because I thought Spurs and United would be the two games people would be looking for tickets for, and we had a good crowd of Spurs, but actually Brentford has been outstripped those games easily for people looking for tickets, so...
I think mid-September is it takes people about a month to get up and running, and I think that's why that one's so popular.
Yeah.
Do you want a Saturday?
Anybody staying over Saturday night? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few of them. Yeah.
Paul Molloy and his crew staying over.
Three of them. Yeah.
Where are you staying, Paul?
We're staying in the Red Wings this time.
Okay.
So. All right. First time there, so. I'll give you a review. You guys have probably stayed in it before.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, lads, listen, thanks a million. Great to talk to you. And I'll see you all Saturday for a win.
See you all Saturday, yeah. Bye.
All the glory hunters are over Saturday.
Good luck. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.